Chrissy and I have a grandson named Theo. A couple of days ago, his mother and father brought him into the living room. They woke him up to show him a lot of new toys. It wasn't even Christmas Day yet, but he got to see a lot of new toys. There was an elaborate train set, and there was a play city. But Theo seized in on one aspect of it. He saw a new truck, and he said, "Oh, a brand new truck." And then he began to say again and again, "I like my new truck. I like my new truck. I like my new truck." His parents tried to point out all the elaborate things that are around him. And eventually he saw another new truck, and he said, "Another new truck, a brand new truck." And then he just said over and over and over again, "I like my new trucks. I like my new trucks. I like my new trucks." Well, friends, there's going to be a brief homily here, and it really is brief. I want you to listen to it with me carefully. You may not grasp, depending on how old you are, every word I say, but there's a phrase I'll repeat again and again and again, like Theo's, "I like my new trucks." There is an Emmanuel, God with us. Long ago, at many times and in various ways, God spoke by the prophets. The birth of Jesus Christ fulfills the prophetic word, "It must be so, for there are no prophets sent, nor any words for them to hear, unless God has a beloved son to send, and a plan to send him in love for us and for our salvation." So through Isaiah, the Lord announced the name Emmanuel to the house of David over 700 years before Mary bore a son for the house of David. Jesus is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. So the birth of Jesus, which means Yahweh saves, took place to fulfill what Yahweh had spoken through Isaiah. Jesus is Emmanuel. He is God with us. This citation from Isaiah 7 is the first quote in Matthew's gospel. Thus it sets an expectation for all who will seek to know Jesus, his identity and his mission, and hear it from Matthew. In Jesus Christ, our Emmanuel, God the eternal Son, very God of very God, is God with us. Do you remember why Jesus will not bow down and worship Satan in the wilderness when he is hungry and tempted to do so? Is it not because God and God alone is worthy of worship? Then why does Jesus allow his disciples to worship him after he walks on water and calms the sea? You shall worship God and God alone. Jesus is very clear about this, but he allows a leper to bow down to him and a synagogue ruler. After his resurrection, two Marys take hold of his feet and worship him. Then the remaining 11 disciples worship Jesus on a mountain he chooses. The first quote in Matthew's gospel tells us that Jesus is Emmanuel. He is God with us. The very next story shows us Magi from the east. Why have they come? To worship him. Even tax collectors know no one should worship anyone but God alone. And yet Matthew, who throws big parties so Jesus can meet his sinner friends, shows us Jesus receiving worship as an infant and accepting worship before and after his resurrection, before and after his death. As this congregation knows, Yahweh, the one true God, told Isaiah to cry out, "All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." So how can Jesus say, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away," unless, of course, he is indeed Emmanuel, God with us? How can Jesus fulfill his promise to be with us when two or three of us gather to do important work in his name, unless he is Emmanuel? How can Jesus keep his promise to be with us always, even until the end of the age? How can he fulfill these, his last words recorded in Matthew's gospel, unless he's the fulfillment of the first prophetic word cited in this gospel? Only because he is Emmanuel, God with us, can he make such a promise and keep it. So Jesus, our Emmanuel, is God, and as Emmanuel, he is God with us. Jesus walked the hills of Galilee because our Creator learned to crawl using our human legs. The eternal Logos learned language with his fully human mind in order to speak words that will outlast the present earth and heavens. the bread of life who fed thousands hungered as one of us in the wilderness, the fount of every spring who quenches our deepest thirst, thirsted for us on a cross made of wood he himself created. He who clothes the widow and the orphan took on our flesh to have his body stripped. Stripped of clothing, stripped of glory, stripped of dignity. He who will right every wrong was wronged. Indeed, in order to live the whole of our experience, he was tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. Hear me though, sinless Jesus was sinned against. He who covers the mountains with blankets of snow was exposed naked, our Emmanuel, to clothe us with glory irrevocable. The source of life took on all our full human life in order to taste death for us, to give us life inexhaustible. He, the eternal gladness of the Father, bore our griefs and carried our sorrows to give us joy irrepressible. Thus, having died on Friday, the sixth day, Jesus, our Emmanuel, Lord of the Sabbath, rested on Saturday, the seventh day. He who is the final rest of all who believe, of all who come to him, was wearied, did hunger, did thirst, was mocked, was stripped, was crucified, dead, and buried, so that rising again in victory, he can welcome us to find our rest in him. Indeed, his words, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest," will not pass away, for he is God. And he who speaks them is the man who knows weariness and burdens like one of us, and also more acutely than any one of us. Let hopes grasp to thrill. Let the weary world rejoice. For Jesus, our Emmanuel, was wearied to give us rest. As a weary man, Christ Jesus, our rest, slept through a storm in a boat. But when he awoke, he told his creation what to do and how to behave, because Jesus is our Emmanuel, our God, with us. So see him partying with Matthew and all his friends, God with people just like you and me. See him healing the leper with his touch, the blind with the word, the deaf with compassion. See the God-man with those in great need. See him who healed a 12-year-old girl and an older woman with a long-term malady, also touching us, because we too are awkward, anxious, weary, alienated, and ashamed. Left to ourselves, are we not less comfortable than we portray? Jesus, our Emmanuel, utterly rejected comfort for himself to welcome us in himself, and renounced outward glory to usher us into the inner depths of his life of fellowship with the Father in the Spirit. See, it was not just then when Jesus was with Matthew and his friends. He sees us now in our hidden poverty, our anxious pretensions, our bodily exhaustion. He hears the hidden sighs of our suppressed sorrows, our self-protecting self-deceptions. Jesus is always with the hungry sheep as one who hungers, ever with the naked as one undressed, ever with his sheep, thirsting with us, suffering with us, imprisoned with us. When we see others in such conditions, to serve them is to serve him, for as he said that he will say, "As you fed, clothed, visited, or welcomed one of these, the least of my brothers, you did it to me." We can serve him by serving one another in similar conditions only because he is ever Emmanuel, God with us. The never needy, all sufficient God is the self same person who hungers and thirsts, who suffers with the anxious, groans with the poor, and wanders with the homeless stranger. He does so with genuine, keen empathy, for as Matthew tells us, our Emmanuel said, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." In living his particular life, he fulfilled another word the Lord said through Isaiah. He took our weaknesses and carried our diseases. This is why our passage at the very beginning of Matthew's story tells us that Jesus, Emmanuel, very God of very God, God with us, begotten, not made, all glorious, all powerful, the very root and longed for shoot of David's line, the living fulfillment of every good promise, fulfilled his role as King David's long-awaited son only once he was adopted by Joseph, the worried man who nearly divorced his mother Mary. Behold this humble mystery that attaches to the eternal Son because he would attach himself to us. Don't you see, there is no plan of redemption unless God has a beloved son to send in love. There is no covenant with Abraham. There is no exodus from Egypt. There's no royal Davidic dynasty unless God has a beloved son to send in love. There is no threat against that ancient lion serpent in the garden, for no son born of a woman will ever crush the head of that murdering serpent unless God has a beloved son to send and is willing in love to send him for us. There is one unified, unfinished story that involves us as God's beloved children because God has one beloved son to send for us and our redemption, and he has sent him into poverty and humiliation and death itself for us to adopt us into the eternal and inexhaustible wealth of knowing him, the God who is love. So the eternal and only begotten Son, conceived in time by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary for us, is adopted by Joseph, a true descendant of David, a man so poor he can't afford the standard sacrifice, one lamb, when it's time to dedicate Jesus, the Lamb of God, in the very temple that never could contain his glory. Heaven and earth cannot contain the glory of the eternal Son, but he'll hunger and thirst and suffer with us because he has come for us. Matthew's story makes this very plain. Jesus, born of Mary, must be adopted into the line of David, that dynasty that never would have existed had the eternal Son not been willing to renew and restore us as his royal image by his suffering, his humiliation, even his death for us. So Jesus, our Lord, deserves our worship, our silence, our reverence, our candle-lit celebrations. For he is God. And our worship, our songs, our celebrations, and our gift-giving are all fitting and acceptable. For he is our salvations. Our lives are hidden in his perfect life. God for us. God with us. Jesus, our Emmanuel. My grandson Theo, his name, full name is Theodore Eli McCarahan. Theodore means one who adores God. Eli means my God. At this Christmas, that is my prayer for you, that you will say, I adore God, my God, who loved me and sent his son for me. Let's pray. Lord, help us believe this, that you sent your son for us. Oh, Father, help us enjoy this great and holy reality, your Son for us. Jesus, help us enjoy and embody this grace, your love, your life and death and resurrection for us. Help us as we seek to have deep fellowship with you, see those around us who suffer and move toward them, that we might have that richer fellowship with you who hungers with the hungry, suffers with the sad, but gives life to us forever. Help us celebrate and rejoice, Lord Jesus. Amen.